on the line with us. Speaking of losing sight with reality, I did that on July 19th of last year. For those of you who don't know, on July 19th, I suffered a massive heart attack and am here to talk about it. And I'm here to talk about it because of the incredible support team that was quickly assembled around me. And I'm talking at all levels. And I'm not only back from that and on the road to recovery, but a great future ahead. Joining us now are, we call them our in-house, I understand we had him on and he just dropped offline, but he'll come back. I'm talking about Dr. Andrew Pipe. He is the professor in the Faculty of Medicine, University of Ottawa Heart Institute. And he is also the former chief of the prevention Division of Prevention and Rehabilitation at the University of Ottawa Heart Institute as well. So he knows a thing or two about hearts, and we immediately contacted, although he had been on the program several times before, we immediately contacted him and had him come on the air. And
oh, he'd been on the show before. He had a history.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We had him on.
And you know why?
In your situation.
No, but you know why? Because he's a crazy, absolutely insane smallmouth bass fisherman. He has a summer home on Amherst Island. For anybody listening that is from the Kingston area or is familiar with that part of the St. Lawrence, you know that Amherst is right off the coast of Kingston, and some of the best smallmouth bass fishing on the planet takes part right there in front of his island. And so we had him on because he's a crazy bass fisherman, and of course being a doctor and stuff was kind of cool. So he was on for a couple of years talking about heart and heart condition. He's a big advocate of taking care of business in advance, being proactive. So anyways, he's on the line with us now. His name is Dr. Andrew Pipe. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Fabulous, thank you. Just fabulous.
Are you on Amherst by any chance?
I'm looking out at Lake Ontario on the shores of beautiful Amherst Island. That's right.
Is it all frozen out there, by the way?
No, there's very little ice. In fact, we only saw ice fringing on the shoreline yesterday. It really has been a very, very unusual winter, as I'm sure it's the case everywhere.
Nope.
So it's,
nope.
Yeah.
No kidding.
But I kind of wish I kept my boat in the water, you know, because I could still be using it.
No kidding. Did you get out fishing much this year, Andrew?
I'm embarrassed to say no. The water was so high, we had trouble actually keeping the boat in a dock, right? And so did not get to use it as much as we might. But I'll take an oath to try to do more this summer.
All right. I'm going to give you a quick update in my report before we take a break. So I've been trying to be in a gym 3 to 4 days a week. And I say trying because I've had a few weeks where it's been 1 or 2 days, but you know, for the most part, I'm averaging 3.5. How's that? And, I'm doing all cardio. That's the main reason I'm there. Although I'm doing some other stuff too, for flexibility and all that. It has nothing to do with cardio, but I thought, well, I'm there. I might as well help myself in other ways. But cardio, for sure. I'm spending at least 60 minutes on a treadmill each time. And up until recently, I was doing a lot of that jogging. I started, I started walking and then just started graduated up to jogging. So I feel great. I think in terms of that part, I'm doing everything that I can to help myself prevent what happened in July.
Good now, for you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And you know, it's now, in hindsight and retrospect, it's easy. Once you get your head into it, it's really simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about doing some ordinary things kind of consistently well and having fun while you're doing it. I think that's the most, perhaps most important of all. I mean, who's going to do stuff if it's not enjoyable or if it's not feasible? And it seems to me you found a sweet spot there. And I assume you're doing things like taking stairs instead of elevators, unless you're going up 17 floors, and just being purposely more active throughout your day. Good for you.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
I'm glad you said, you know, entertaining yourself and having fun, because inadvertently Sportsnet and CBC kind of helped me stay on that program because they fired Don Cherry and then he started his own podcast. So guess what I listened to on the treadmill for an hour? It's perfect.
Well, that's going to raise your heart rate, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I've got to be careful. Amherst Island's very close to Kingston. And
that's right.
Exactly.
Hey, Andrew, can I get you to sit tight with us for a couple of minutes? I've got to take a quick break, and I have a ton of things I need to go over with you still.
It'll be a pleasure. Look forward to chatting in a moment.
Dr. Andrew Pipe on the line, professor in the Faculty of Medicine, University of Ottawa Heart Institute, and a whole bunch of other things that he does in terms of heart health. We'll speak to him in a couple of minutes. Don't you dare go away. More Journal right after this. Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank. That's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Michael Mooring over there in place of Stephen Labadie, who is in Mexico. Have you seen Stephen when he goes out in areas of lots of sunshine, by the way? I have. I've worked. Well, you have, too. You've worked with him out in the field. Yes. He's got to cover himself from head to toe.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say that I've seen him. I have to avert my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. You know. He's white. He's pale. He's translucent. Anyways, I'm sure he's all covered up in that white stuff he normally wears. What was I saying? Derek Brandeo and Andrew Holland on the board today at The Fan, keeping us honest and off the rocks. We are your A-team minus a little couple of people. We'll call it B-plus. How's that? We will shepherd you through the outdoors this wonderful weekend. On the line with us is our good friend, and we call him our in-house heart counselor. His name is Dr. Andrew Pipe. He is a professor in the Faculty of Medicine, University of the Ottawa Heart Institute. He is the former chief of the Division of Prevention and Rehabilitation at the University of Ottawa Heart Institute as well. And he is the heart guy. Here's an interesting fact. One person dies every 7 minutes from a heart attack or a stroke. And as I mentioned in the previous segment, I was almost one of those numbers. I was part of that data. One out of seven, or seven every or one every 7 minutes. So alarmingly high.
That's
of course, I had no idea. I didn't know any of this was happening until I was involved. That's the way we are, right? As long as it's not me, it's okay.
That's right.
It's just somebody else. Well, this time it was me, so I made a point of finding out just how big this heart business is, and it's massive. And that's why Dr. Pipe is on the line to help us walk us through it. And also, I think more as a precautionary, we like to have him on the program so that people that are listening that might be one of these statistics someday can prevent it. And that's what he does, and he does so extremely well when he's not fishing for smallmouth off Amherst Island, of course. What's been your biggest fish to date, Andrew? Your smallmouth.
I'm embarrassed on a program like yours to even could we move on to something else? You asked me if I'd been fishing. I had a grandson. We went fishing off the shore here. You can imagine the kind of messes we got into learning to cast and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I realize I'm really out of water on your show.
Oh, boy, I don't know about that. All right, give us a report here. How, first of all, I said to you that I'm in the gym 3 days, 3.5 days a week. Told you I'm doing at least 1 hour of straight cardio on a treadmill each time that I go to the gym. I did not tell you, but I will tell you now, I have completely eliminated salt from my diet, completely eliminated salt, to the point where I'm probably annoying most of my family members, to be honest with you. But anyways.
Well, I think, a great point. We fail to recognize that we get massive amounts of salt before we even add anything to food. There's so much salt in our food, and particularly in processed foods. So I'm probably confident in saying that you're probably not missing salt. I mean, we lose that appetite for salt very, very quickly. And I'll bet when you get something that's a little bit on the salty side, you notice it now a whole lot more.
For sure.
Most people can ditch the salt and never miss it and never need it.
Why did I have to ditch the salt?
Well, when we have a high intake of salt, that basically increases your blood pressure because it draws more fluid into your blood vessels. So it's kind of like you're putting more fluid in the plumbing system, and so the pressure goes up. So that simply put, is a principal reason. And, of course, high blood pressure is a very, very well-known risk factor for heart disease and particularly stroke.
Okay, so why – see, this is where I get confused in this whole game, all right? It's not a game, obviously, but – all right, so you just said that you don't want to have a lot of extra fluid in the pipes. You don't want to have a lot of pressure on the pipes because that could lead to possible heart problems. But yet you tell me that, you know, I gotta exercise every day and get that blood flowing through my veins. Like, so I get a little confused with the message. I do it, but I'm a little confused. Tell me how that works.
Well, you're not from Kingston, so it would take a little while for the message to get through to you, obviously. But a very good question. Look, we want your blood pressure to be able to rise and fall to reflect your level of physical activity so that when you become more active, your heart pumps more vigorously, the pressure goes up slightly. We don't want your pressure high 24/7. And that, of course, is what happened, right? And so we know that exercise actually will lower your blood pressure because you will become fitter. Your blood vessels will become fitter. They will relax. And so while your blood pressure will rise normally as a result of exercise, when you're not exercising, your blood pressure is going to be lower than it was before you started an exercise routine. So very good questions. And I can understand how that can sometimes appear confusing.
Yeah. You tell me not to, and then I do. And anyways, whatever is happening, it is happening because I got to tell you, and my friends are sick and tired of me answering when they say, how are you doing? I say, I'm doing absolutely outstanding. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I'm going to continue doing it because it's been fantastic, man.
Usually reliable sources, though, have indicated you're no better looking, but you may be feeling a whole lot better. That's very good news.
So talk to me about what happened to me. I mean, obviously I had artery problems. You know, I did used to, and I say used to because I have not since. I used to smoke cigars, especially on a boat. I just find that it was sort of part and parcel of the whole experience, the whole enjoyment. Right.
Yeah.
So that's gone. And of course, I told you already that I'm off salt completely. I watch my diet constantly, making sure that I eat the right foods, a lot of vegetables. I've cut back on this and cut back on that. So I've done all those things because I was told that my arteries were all clogged up from the way I used to do all those things, including lack of exercise. And through the years, I've built up this gunk. It's the only way that I can describe it. And it takes years to build it up, and it takes years to get rid of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, although you can very dramatically lower your risk of problems in the future by doing the things that you've done, by exercising regularly, eating sensibly, et cetera, et cetera. But we know that this gunk that develops in blood vessels, which we call atherosclerosis or atheroma, or, you know, people talk about hardening of the arteries because it makes the arterial walls not only cruddy, but also very, very stiff and not able to dilate. By and large, these processes begin, or very typically these processes begin, because there's injury to the vessel wall. And in an attempt to heal it, the body mounts an inflammatory response, and so it becomes a bit inflamed and angry. And then all kinds of other things, particularly if you've got higher levels of cholesterol, for instance, especially if you're a smoker, these inflammatory processes kind of go wild, and all kinds of cholesterol and other junk starts to accumulate within this crud, which gradually build up on the walls of your vessels. And then a heart attack typically occurs not because these things grow to the point that they block off the artery, but because they're so angry and so inflamed, they rupture. And when they rupture, they dump into the bloodstream something which causes an almost instantaneous blood clot. And it's that blood clot in association with that rupture which interrupts the flow of blood to your heart, and a heart attack typically results. So much of what we do in terms of managing heart disease, we talk about stabilizing plaque, stabilizing this crud so it's not likely to rupture. And some of the medicines, which I'm sure you're taking, are doing that. They're not only lowering your cholesterol, but perhaps as importantly, they're kind of sealing off this crud, having an anti-inflammatory effect. And the things that you're doing by exercising regularly are doing dramatically good things to your blood vessel health. And of course, the single most important thing that anyone can do who's a smoker from a cardiac and cardiovascular point of view is to stop smoking.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to put you on the spot, but I think you answered already. I was going to say, okay, so it's not a perfect world. You can't have everything that you want. But out of the three items that we talked about, and that is exercise, diet, and smoking, if you could only get one of these items taken away from your patients who have suffered a heart attack, which one would it be?
Smoking. Without hesitation.
Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, wow. You know, you're putting 6,000 or 7,000 chemicals directly into your arterial system. When you smoke, we get excited about intravenous drug users. And most people completely fail to understand the moment you take stuff in your lungs, it's dumped right into the principal pumping chamber of your heart. And so you get 7,000 chemicals, 50 carcinogens, huge quantities of carbon monoxide, all kinds of other gunk distributed through your arterial system. And that's why, number one thing, stop smoking. And by the way, I say that recognizing that stopping smoking is a whole lot harder than most non-smokers understand.
Oh.
So it's a challenge. And if you're listening to this and you're saying, well, blow it out your ear, pipe, I've tried and I just can't do it, never quit quitting. We know that the more times you continue to quit, make attempts at quitting, the more successful you're likely to be.
Well, very well put, and I was hoping to hear that message from you this morning, to be honest with you. Not that I'm having a hard time with it, but you know, there are days where I say, well, how bad can it be? You know, let me have one.
Yeah.
You know,
but we lose sight of the fact that of all of the drugs in our community, nicotine is the most addictive drug we deal with, and it takes about 48 or 72 hours before you become addicted to nicotine once you've learned to inhale it. And of course, that's why we're so terribly concerned about this whole vaping epidemic, right?
Right.
The idea that individual smokers will switch to vaping devices and quit smoking. Unfortunately, the evidence is that the vast majority of those who switch to vaping devices or e-cigarettes don't quit, and the likelihood of them quitting is reduced. While at the same time, we've got an epidemic of nicotine addiction amongst teenagers using these devices. Some researcher recently published that for every adult who quits smoking using an e-device, 80 teenagers become addicted to nicotine. And that's
wow.
Just a disaster. That's a disaster.
Oh, that's terrible. What a stat.
Yeah.
Anyways, Andrew, I want to thank you, as I do each and every time you come on the program. We really appreciate it. I personally really appreciate it. And I'm sure there's listeners out there who are, you know, looking to change their lives in terms of heart disease that listen to you on this program and appreciate you as well. And keep up the good work, my friend.
Well, you're very kind, and you motivate me to put a line in the water. So, it all works out.
All right, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to it. Take care.
Dr. Andrew Pipe, professor in the Faculty of Medicine, University of Ottawa Heart Institute. And if you want more information on him or ask him questions, et cetera, he's available at ottawaheart.ca. That's ottawaheart.ca. Or you can also go to heartandstroke.on.ca for more information. Great guy. I have to take him out fishing, I think, Michael. That might not be a bad idea.
I think he's earned that much.
I think he's earned it.
Yeah.